Let us pray. Lord, teach us to be good neighbours, not just to the folk who live nearby, but to everyone that we meet. See the best in and want the best for all your precious children, who might one day return to their father's house and the warmth of your embrace. Amen. Who is my neighbour, and how do I love them more? My blood or blended family? We've all heard that saying, you can choose your friends but not your family. This almost implies that we will have issues with our families at times, and that we're much more likely to get on better with our friends because we've chosen them, we have things in common and have shared interests with them. Having said that, we will obviously have things in common with our family. I often wonder if the issues that people have within their families are actually born out of that sense of it being a safer place in a lot of respects, being born out of the love that families have for each other. And hence, it strengthens that bond within the family, giving us the confidence to speak out more and having issues with each other. Honouring one's father and mother is being obedient to them, listening to their advice, and complying with their instructions and wishes. This Old Testament command to honour your father and mother is not only repeated by Jesus in his ministry, it's also reiterated to the church by Paul in both Ephesians and Colossians. Children, be obedient to your parents in the Lord. Paul wrote, "For this is right and well-pleasing to the Lord." Parents are a children's introduction to all types of authority, and they help to form an attitude towards the rule of law and other people. The Lord has charged parents to train up a child in what they should do and help to shape appropriate behaviours and attitudes towards other people and their understanding of God and his plan of salvation. Obedience to one's father and mother teaches children to have a reverence for God and respect those in authority. It places the responsibility for the moral upbringing of children and their instruction in righteous living firmly on the shoulders of the father and the mother and the people around and about them. When the commandment to honour one's parents was first given to Israel on Mount Sinai, it not only instructs a child towards obedience, but explains the positive outcomes of honouring one's parents, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. This is the fifth commandment that was given by Moses to the people of Israel, and is the first command that comes with a promise, the promise of a long life that accompanies the honouring of one's parents. It may not only refer to longevity in the life that we're in currently, but will also refer to the promises that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, David, and the nation of Israel. We read in Isaiah, "The dead shall live, and my dead body shall arise, awake and sing." While we read in Daniel, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to reproaches and everlasting abhorrence." The Bible teaches that the land that was promised by God to the nation of Israel will one day be fulfilled when Christ returns to rule and reign as King of Kings. And it is possible that his promise to prolong those days and honour their parents may be referring to this future time of peace and prosperity. However, it is the responsibility of all parents to teach their children the fear and nurture of the Lord. And it is the duty of all children to take this important instruction to heart. For those that reverence God by obeying his command to honour father and mother have the assurance that they will live long in the land which the Lord their God has given them. Giving honour to reflect our father and mother is a command that should be obeyed, irrespective of a parent's spiritual status. For this is right and well-pleasing to the Lord. Indeed, as Christians, we're not only required to honour our parents and submit to them, but to behave righteously with whomsoever we come into contact with, even though we may not always find this easy. When our relationship is right with God, we discover that our relationship with parents and others is also right, and vice versa. By God's perfect design, we were placed in families. May we honour the father and mother who brought us into this world, and those that have influenced us for good. May we strive to walk in spirit and truth all the days of our lives, and ensure that every day is lived in right relationship with our Heavenly Father. So, what about the family of God? Well, this follows Jesus' teaching on the parables, the sower and the lamp. In both cases, the emphasis was upon how people responded to God's word. There are many inadequate ways to receive God's word. Road, rocks, thorns. It is only the good soil that hears God's word and does it who will produce the fruit. Along the same lines, the lamp is the light of God's word that illuminates the truth for those in darkness, exposes false teaching, and enlightens those who seek to understand it. So what of Jesus' spiritual family? Jesus seems to make it clear that his covenant family was more important to him than his natural family. He will confirm this several times more in more explicit and shocking fashion in Luke 9:59-61 and 14 chapter verse 26. Our primary loyalty belongs to the family of God. Our role in God's kingdom's work is more important than our role within our homes. That doesn't mean we should neglect our responsibilities as husbands, mothers, parents, and family members. In most cases, those roles will overlap each other. But no matter what hat we're currently wearing at work, church, home, we need to understand the authority of scriptures. We are a child of God above all other earthly relationships. And that naturally connects us to others who operate according to those same standards. Who belongs to this family? Those who hear and do the word of God. Our physical blood families and our friends in all walks of life are equally children of God. Kent Hughes points out to the example of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who taught a homiletics class in an underground seminary in Nazi Germany. As he listened to his students preaching, he always set aside his pencil and listened intently, with his Bible open before him, no matter how poor the sermon was. He believed that the preaching of God's word ought to be attended to as if he were listening to the very voice of God. But aren't we hearers only? We must also do the word of God. We obey. however imperfect our obedience is. That's what a disciple does. This requires faith. Those who believe continue to hear God's word in faith and then apply it with faith. In the light of that, let's consider the commitment we have to our church versus the commitment we make to our physical family. It's a difficult balance to find, and this passage may make the conflict in your mind even more painful. For many of us, we see a culture that has essentially abandoned the family. We see the consequences of those decisions in our own personal histories. We are striving to break that cycle for our own children. All of that is good. In Jesus' own time, family was far more important than it appears to be now. However, Jesus deliberately escalates the spiritual family to an even higher priority. We should ask where the church fits into our lives. Is it merely a few hours on a Sunday morning? Or are we active members in what will be our family for all eternity? So to conclude, there can be no doubt that Jesus loved and cared for his physical family. He entrusted the care of his mother to his most beloved disciple. Many of his brothers also adopted roles within the church to carry on Jesus' mission. But Jesus never compromised his messianic role. He was faithful to the law of God perfectly, so that we might all be adopted into his family. And that's our primary motivation, to submit to him. Let us hear and do the word of God, because we all belong to the family of God, both blood and blended family. Amen.